Previously on the Hoolies Hoolie.
Channel 50 had different strokes in there. At
you
about
could get
2:30.
A strokes. You could get
or a
strokes.
Webster. I think Webster might have been a 1 o'clock start.
That'd be an odd quirk to have if you were
Charles
like the CEO of a major Fortune 500 company, you know? Hey, quiet. It's 11:30. Webster's on.
Giant oak doors in his office.
Who was Webster?
Right. And then cuts to a shot of Alex Karras throwing Alex Emmanuel Karras. Lewis in the air, yes. And just former. A smile on the CEO's face, like, and pulling out a juice box for his lunch and a bag of powdered cheese.
He's
on some tortilla
out
chips.
A juice box.
Right. Susan, shut the door. Webster's on. WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me to the left is my twin brother, Bill. Hi, Bill.
What's up?
And the greatest person in the world, Clayton O'Brien, to his left.
Hi, how are you?
A lot of Webster talk last week for our nostalgic 80s sitcom fans.
We love Webster.
Somehow we got down a Webster hole.
A web hole.
A web. Got stuck in one of them WPWR TV web holes. Welcome.
Miss Webster.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Hope he's doing good. Hope he had a good summer.
Webster's a good street in Chicago for avoiding traffic.
It is.
Until you get to that area, Clyburnish.
Yeah. You're like, all right, enough.
Yeah. Then you go, here we go.
If you're whipping through Lincoln Park, Webster's a nice little.
Yep. And then you're like, all right, this people can't figure out a four-way stop sign.
You shoot from Clark to Clyburn. That's
traffic
the highway
with
around.
Bill. Thank you, Bill. Traffic on the sixes here.
It's the Lincoln Park Speedway right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gridlock anywhere you go, boys.
See what a beautiful segue. We go from Webster TV right into traffic.
Yeah. You gotta be quick.
You gotta be quick. Speaking of traffic, thinking about dumping my car.
Oh, wait a minute. Did Webster live in Chicago?
No. He lived in a clock.
I don't know. It seemed like the neighborhood would have been like a Lincoln Park type neighborhood that Webster lived in.
It was
in,
like though. Central Park West or something.
Was it? Bill, that was last week's episode.
Okay.
Forget about Webster.
He said, you just got me on the brain.
7 days, and you're still thinking about Webster. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. What were you trying to segue into?
His car. He's dumping it.
I think I'm dumping my car.
Torch
well,
it.
It's good. It's about time.
Oh, it's about time. The thing's like 3 years old.
Those things last forever.
No, they don't.
That's how they get you.
And as soon as it starts kind of going, and you start thinking to yourself,
Yeah, it's just should the sound
I,
of a toilet
should I
flushing.
Should I pay a bunch of money to repair this right now? Or should I just dump this and start over again?
And then, deal with the same thing in 2 more years.
Yeah. Usually how it works.
It's a vicious cycle, the car.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, so I think I'm, as much as I want to.
You should build your own car.
Just get ready for.
That's you know what? I'm like Henry Ford. Actually, that's not a bad movie idea right there.
Start scooping up parts.
They made a movie where Billy Bob Thornton was building, trying to become an astronaut. It's called The Astronaut Farmer. You ever see that?
No.
Not a bad movie.
Yeah.
He builds a rocket on his farm?
I don't want to be an astronaut. I just want to be a law-abiding auto driver. And I think I'm about maybe make a movie about a guy who just builds his own car in his yard.
Get a scooter.
Gets so fed up.
It happens every day. There's people building cars.
Shows you just hammering parts together.
Yeah, but you can. Yeah, I guess that's absurd.
You can throw something together.
That's my life. Oh, Pat, you can already build your own car, so it's something that you can do.
All you need is a drive shaft, some axle,
about $30,000 worth of equipment, and then the parts. So
spend $40,000.
Very expensive
to put the car
procedure.
Together.
Yeah.
What happened to the days where you could just build a car with a wrench and a hammer?
Yeah, I don't think that, no.
Doesn't it, like, but it seemed like in the 60s that was a kind of a, you didn't need as many tools. They weren't as tech, you know? These cars are computers now.
Well, in the 60s, you could get, like, a car for $200. Like a rat rod, you know?
Like a dirt bike
business. I got me a rat rod for $200 in the 60s.
Get in. Start smoking.
A dirt bike business or some sort of a... bicycle, motorcycle thing would
you should
be.
Become
wait, what?
You should become a bike,
if you were,
a bike guy.
If you were thinking about like, oh yeah, I wish I could just make a car with my own hands. Well, I'm saying the overhead on doing, bicycles with motors would be a little bit cheaper. And I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, but you can't put two kids on a bike.
Sure you can.
Oh, but we could sell them to teenagers. We could sell them to teenagers.
Get a giant basket.
The 40% profit margins.
Billy the entrepreneur thinking all the time. He's getting right back. Maybe forget about Pat's car talk. We should build motorbikes for teenagers and have a big markup on those. Kids still like motorbikes, you know.
You two are not built for motorcycles. You're too accident prone.
Oh my gosh.
I think you're right about that, Clay. I don't think that I'd be able to.
You didn't really pass the bicycle
test. Funny you were saying that. I was at a wedding this weekend. I was talking to one of my friends who's married to one of my girlfriend's best friends. Anyways, I was talking to him. He's a real like car man's guy. You know what I mean? Knows how to
Carman's guy.
He's a Carman's guy.
He's a Carman.
He was like, you know, grew up in a small town. He's like, yeah, you know, I did some projects when I was younger. It was a cool experience to work with my dad, build these cars together.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I got to ask you, did you have a bike? He goes, yeah. Yes, I did. And I said, what happened? He goes, I got in an accident on it. You know, and he goes,
a motorcycle.
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, well, did you have road? He goes, everyone's got everyone that rides bikes has their different accident story. Cause I feel like you talk to somebody who's had a bike for like over 15 years. Odds are they've probably been in some sort of an accident with it at one point.
But most of the time, it's not. It's because like someone cuts you off.
That's what he said. He's like, I got cut off. It wasn't that, you know, he goes, thank God I was properly trained and I knew like, you know, right at the right moment.
How to bust a wheelie and get out of there.
How to fly off of it, you know. And he's like, I still.
How to fly off of it.
Right. Thank God I was trained. I knew how to fly off the bike. You know,
I knew how to properly skin my face.
When I was a kid, I had a trampoline in the yard. I used to practice.
He was seriously injured, though. But I asked him.
There's a right way to skid your face off the street.
Do you want to get another bike? He went, yes. So, no. I mean, you know, that's why the dirt bike business might be not a bad idea.
This is what you do.
It's an addiction. It's an adrenaline rush.
Dump your car.
Yep.
And then pick up like a 1985 like Camaro and just start fixing it up for like $500.
Yeah, that'll really go over from a practical car. Throw the kids in. We got to go get groceries in the Camaro that I'm working on.
That has no back seat.
That has no. Yeah, right.
The wooden board.
Yeah.
Sit on the board, kids.
It's a project.
Well, I wish you luck in your car endeavor.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Whoever gives me the best deal and hooks me up
wins. Yeah.
Big plug on this show for that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, sure.
That's the trade-off.
Car dealers, that's what they're waiting for.
Well, you know, we have a lot of car dealers that listen to this program. They're very, very in love with Bill's entrepreneurial tales, typically.
Oh, really? Thank you, fellow car lovers.
Car lovers. Not a bad name for a dealership.
Car lovers.
Ow,
why
on,
is he British?
Car lovers?
Is car lovers a British auto dealership?
It
car
is.
Car lovers.
Only Aston Martin's with car lovers. Let's say Jaguars.
I don't know. Would you buy it? What if you went to a dealership called Car Lovers and a guy came out?
That's what we just said, Bill.
If he had like a British accent, how inclined would you be in the middle of the city of Chicago to go up to a place called Car Lovers? And the guy comes out, there's crap, just junk all over the lot on Western Avenue. And he goes, thanks for coming by. Would you trust him?
I'd slap an Ireland sticker on his forehead and walk out.
Okay.
Wow. And then I'd go eat some oatmeal.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing to do before you go car shopping.
Definitely. No question about it.
You need a big, hearty bowl of McCann's Irish oatmeal to make your mind right and make sure you don't make an improper decision.
Right. You need to eat one first. Go check it out. Talk to some people. Go home. Have another bowl.
And never go back.
And possibly never go back or pull the trigger.
Like to eat one during the test drive, actually.
Should just go in with the bowl in your hand and eating the oatmeal.
Test drive this Mazda?
Can I negotiate with you on this rendezvous over here, this 015 rendezvous?
Yeah.
You got anything from the 90s?
Have a scoop of oatmeal. That'll make you a better deal maker.
It will.
Show sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. More after this.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. They're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Tell him your story. Welcome back, Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah.
Another week of intelligent talk.
Mm-hmm. So, back to your car.
Yeah.
Car talk.
Car talk.
Hey, welcome to Car Talk.
You know what?
What?
If we just talk about cars every week, maybe people will just start listening, you know?
But we don't know anything about cars.
Perfect. Three guys who know nothing about cars talking about cars. They complain about cars. They talk about the dealers. They talk about, you know, new salesmen that they've met on the street.
Yeah. How many alternators they've gone through in the
car
last...
Car movies. We talk about a lot of car movies.
What's songs your... they've heard in cars.
Songs you've heard in cars. Everything related.
Food they've eaten in cars.
Women they've kissed in cars.
Women they've kissed in cars.
What do we call that show? Auto Hooli.
Whoa.
No.
Auto Drool.
Carboys? Carboys would be pretty good.
Carboys.
Carmen.
Carmen? No, Carboys.
Carmen.
Carboyman.
Carboys with a Z.
Carboys. I like Carboys.
Carboys with a Z is very Chicago 80s. Like the Boys from Illinois was one of the groups.
So what kind of car would you get to replace thy car that you shall have not?
That I currently have? One that's a little cheaper. I can maybe roll the loan into it.
Like a Rolls Royce?
No. Does Hyundai make a Rolls Royce?
Hyundai.
Is that what you're looking for? You're still on the Hyundai kick, Honda.
Hyundai's they're rated the best car.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's
best
whatever
car in the world.
That's what the guy tells you when you walk into Volvo. We're rated the best car in the world. You know that.
The best car on earth 2 years in a row.
That's your salesman pitch. How do you sell so many cars? I tell them it's the best car on earth. They buy it after a while.
Best car on earth.
You say it a couple hundred times. You know, it's best car on earth.
I say earth. I leave the H off.
Best car on earth.
this Mazda is the best car on earth.
Chicago car dealer. Wasn't James Caan a car dealer in the iconic Chicago gangster movie Thief, directed by Michael Mann?
He was. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was moving lots.
I'm moving lots here. Hey, do me a favor. Move the Eldorado from the front over to the back over here and bring up
Bring up the Escalade. Bring up
the gray brome.
Bring up the station wagon, please.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, Clay. Whoever gives me the best deal and the best value car. I don't have a...
You should get an old station wagon, like from the 80s. Like a Buick station wagon with the wood paneling.
Like a... where you start it every time.
Oh, man, that's what I want now.
It's got the old car key on it that looks like a house key still, and it just says GMC on it.
Just crank the thing into drive and take off.
No, I need something practical for the kids. No.
Station wagon's not practical.
SUV.
That is funny. You know, we've evolved as a society where if you have a car that doesn't have a computer in it,
you're a jerk.
You're kind of dangerous, you know, or maybe on the poverty level, or perhaps, you know, who knows?
Someone who has problems.
You know, he's a nice guy, but he's got a 1986 Cutlass.
He's driving around in a Cutlass.
He's still driving it, and I'm a little worried for him.
This is what you need, a 1987 Buick Electra.
Okay, sure. What are the features? Now, what are the features AMF on that?
What are the features? You can smoke in it, and the radio works, so you're all set.
That's another sales guy. Best car on earth. Plus, you could smoke on it and play the radio. It's got an ashtray.
You can
eat in it. Know any cars that have ashtrays anymore?
You can kiss girls in it. You can eat in it. Whatever you want.
Enjoy yourself. This car has ashtrays.
That's true. Remember the metal ashtrays? You'd have to, like, open with your finger.
Bringing back the ashtray. Maybe that's a new car
thing.
That's
it. You know why we're not moving units? Let's get the ashtrays back in these days.
Yeah, make people comfortable about their smoking again.
Actually,
it's not a bad thing that you smoke. The new car's going to depreciate when you bring it back.
The new cars have the USB.
I'm going to sell it at an auction and make way more money.
Well, the new cars probably figure they have the USB port, so people that like vape and stuff like that, they can charge their vapes in their car. They can do all kinds of things. Technology is an amazing thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Really, absolutely.
Yeah.
This car over here, you can get technology high.
You should get a car from the 40s.
Okay.
With like a horn.
Like heavy, deadly glass.
What'd you say? Deadly, deadly glass?
heavy, deadly.
Heavy, deadly glass?
That's the name of my book.
It's a good name for a book. It's got a little bit of heavy, deadly glass. It's a tongue twister.
Heavy, deadly glass.
Yeah.
That is hard to say.
You got
to
say it. Say it like maybe Mick Jagger would say it. Heavy, deadly glass.
This new number is called Heavy Deadly Glass. Keith,
it almost sounds like if you say it really fast, it sounds like you're saying Debbie Glass. Thank you, Debbie Glass.
You know
Heavy
what?
Debbie Glass.
Thank you, Debbie Glass.
I was
Who's
actually,
Debbie Glass?
Bill, she's like a girl that listens to the Stones.
Debbie Glass, my high school sweetheart. Beautiful girl. Yeah. Pale, real pale.
Yeah.
Bill, I was listening to some Beastie Boys the other day.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
And I heard a song called... I think it's Rhyming and Stealing. I don't know what it is. But you think the lyrics are, ain't you running hotter than a boy named Kettle?
That it was a boy named Kettle. Yeah, it's a boiling kettle.
Boiling kettle. You thought it was a boy named
Kettle.
Kettle.
Yeah.
And so now every time I hear this song, what song is that? No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
It's No Sleep Till Brooklyn, yeah.
So now every time I hear that, I now say your messed up lyrics in my head.
Because it makes you laugh.
Better than a boiling kettle.
I do laugh every time and think about it, so thank you.
The other one, Claire, that I remember from our 90s growing up was Cypress Hill.
Aye.
And it's How I Just Kill a Man, I believe, is the lyric.
How I Could Just Kill
How
a Man.
How I Could Just Kill a Man?
Yes, that's it.
And I remember a girl we knew growing up with thought the lyric was Howard Just Killed a Man. Killed a Man.
Howard the Gangbanger from L.A.
Right.
Yeah, terrible guy.
These hardcore Howard.
Hardcore
Howard is one of the salesmen at your dealership, Clay.
I mean, how about this? Please, after we talk for a little bit, go see Hardcore Howard. He'll hook you up with the financing.
Yeah.
Grab a glass of water and a sandwich.
When you're done looking at the car, go see Hardcore Howard.
Go see Hardcore Howard. He'll
There's
get
the
you
British
some,
guy again.
Some heavy, deadly glass discounts. Yeah.
I wonder if that would work, Clay, if you walked into a car dealership as a salesman tomorrow and said, here's the thing. I'd like to sell cars, but I'd like to play a character.
I bet you know what?
Because that's what they've been doing for years. You can walk in as like an actor and create your niche and be like, you know what? I'm going to be British for 8 hours all day.
I'm going to wear a bow tie.
You know, you come home, commission coming home from work and you're having like a bad day. Your wife's like, what's wrong? You'd be like, what's wrong? You know, I had a long day. I was playing British all day trying to sell Hyundais.
You know what? That people would probably like. They would like. You make people feel smarter or something.
You know what? You create a persona.
The British accent makes people want to buy stuff.
Right. You have to be very serious.
You think that people? You think that people are just walking off the street all the time to buy cars? I was talking to a guy, and I was at this wedding over the weekend where there were actually guys who were car
salesman.
Actual car salesman.
Right.
You know, so I was like, off the record, let me pick it, you know, ask, do you like the job?
Oh, tell you weren't recording them?
Get a few drinks in them. You want to find out, all right, what's the skinny on this whole business, you know? But
Yeah, it's a scam.
Pretty much what the guy told me was, he goes, look, with online and everything like that, the key to being successful when purchasing a car from any of these car dealerships, especially if you're going to get a used one, is that you got to find, as soon as it, like, these cars hit a certain, you know, first of all, you have to know a price range of what you're looking at for a certain model and blue book value. Then you have to scour the internet, and then you could find a dealership where someone gets it. And the dealership, usually what they do is they'll the first 3 days that they have the car, it's hot.
Yeah,
they give it the opportunity to have someone.
Is that
to
an
come.
Industry term?
Well, the because people will come in from, like you said, Clay, when you were sold a car online once, you could get people from out of state because there's a need for whatever mileage is on any car, whatever year it is. There's someone out there who wants it. It's not a joke.
There's a need and a want.
And these car, what they do is that they'll get a guy in there who wants it, who has to travel there, and then they'll show it to somebody else, give that person the opportunity to buy it, and tell them, look. If you don't buy it, you know, then they mark it up just a little bit. And normally what happens is either that person is smart enough to pull the trigger on it and they don't. Mm-hmm. And they're actually kind of sometimes can be happy that those people don't pull the trigger on it, because when the next person comes in who really, really wants it, it's already gone up by like $2,000. And they know that that person's traveled all the way. Usually they get the sale.
Yeah.
90% of the time. I mean, that's how when I bought my car, I found it literally within 4 days of what I was looking for. I went to the dealership. The guy's like, you're lucky you came in this fast. I don't know if that's BS, but I like to believe it was truth because I got a pretty sweet deal on it.
This is like an infomercial, Bill.
It's something. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Bill, we've talked about cars on this before.
Standing
so many
in front
times,
of Curry like Chevrolet is, somewhere.
Can I talk to you for a second before you go
and,
in there?
And cut. Wonderful, Billy. Very good spiel.
Here's your check for $19.
It's your $19 check.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Here, I looked this up just now while Bill was talking.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There is, here's some slang I found.
Oh, okay, sure.
Some definitions here. Dictionary of slang use that car salesmen use for each other. First one is called the babysitter. All right?
Okay.
A babysitter, slang term used for a co-signer or co-buyer on an automobile contract. Often used when the primary buyer needs help to make a decision or make the buy.
Okay, fine.
Okay, we get a babysitter for you. Your credit's not great. You got a friend or a babysitter help you out here?
Yeah.
Back end.
Okay.
Back end is the contract which is being sent to the bank for financing, where extra hidden profit
is extra.
Hidden profit is made by the dealer, and the back end profit occurs because the dealer gets a kickback from the bank just for seeing, you know, setting up the loan.
Sure.
See if it's there, you know. Okay. Back out of the deal. Hold on. There's good ones here. Bird dog, one who refers prospective customers to a particular dealership or a salesman for a given fee or compensation. So you're a bird dog. Like, yeah, send this guy over to you. I'm a, you know, basically an affiliate, a bird dog.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Honk, honk.
Okay. Well,
you want to be a
candy store. Look at this. This is a candy store. It's a dealership with lots of vehicle inventory.
This joint's a candy store.
A chiseler. A buyer who constantly grinds the salesman to get the best possible deal that he can get.
Ooh. Don't be a chiseler.
Be a chiseler.
Clayton, you're being such an unconscionable chiseler here.
Now you want the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Right.
For $14,000. All right, we can make that work.
Right.
Have a chocolate.
Is that your thing? I give everyone chocolates.
I had a buyer.
Can I have a chocolate on your desk? Not unless you buy one.
I had a buyer today give me a chocolate. That's funny you said that.
You had a guy give you a chocolate today?
I had a buyer today say, have a chocolate.
And what kind of chocolate?
It was some sort of a nutty chocolate ball that
his wife had made. Ball.
It was one of those situations
homemade
where
chocolate.
I was trying. Yeah, it was a homemade chocolate thing.
It's scary.
I don't know what to call it. He's
a homemade chocolate.
He's an
thing.
Indian gentleman. He was like, "You want something sweet?" And I was like, "What, like for
yeah,
the sweet
sure.
tooth?" And he said, "Yeah." He had obviously just had one. He went, "Try one of these.
Give me some of your wife's
and
hands
I was like,
are all over."
Sure. That's what I thought about it. I was like, "I'm eating it. This guy's gonna buy 20 cases of beer from me right now."
Hey, God bless.
And he did. And I had.
And the cycle continues.
And the cycle continues.
Yeah. You know. That's crazy stuff, Pat.
Oh, there's way more in here. We could go on forever.
I was a car dealer for a little bit.
That's right.
It's a true story.
You sold cars?
You know how many cars I sold?
How many?
Zero.
No.
The pain of no car sales.
You played a car salesman in the movie Tapioca.
That's correct.
Yeah, you did.
Being a true car salesman is a grueling deal. You're standing out there with like 20 other dudes.
It's a hard profession. The guy I talked to, he's like,
and one car pulls in, it's like, God, that's Angelo's. He's got seniority over everybody.
Right.
There's another slang term, Clay, and I've said this before. I thought this was gold balls.
Gold balls.
One who has excellent credit and usually a considerable down payment. Oh, look at this guy. I just hit the jackpot. Gold balls, you know what I mean? He's going to buy.
This guy's gold balls over here. Stop bird dogging and get off my lot.
Okay.
Well, that's going to be your life pretty soon.
Good luck to you.
A hen. Older type salesman who influences younger salesman adversely.
Wow.
A hen.
He's like the Jack Lemmon.
Does anyone actually use these terms?
Who knows?
I hope not.
Well, maybe. I'm sure they use them, you know?
Okay.
Welcome to Car Talk with the
hen. Well, I'm glad that your phone is consuming you while you're looking at this, because you did have some phone trouble as well this week.
It did. I had it, you know, and it was very, very annoying and painful. It never happens at
phones, cars.
Cars, phones,
refrigerators.
Everything's breaking down, you know?
Ridiculous. Yep.
You're like, oh, man.
Welcome to phones, cars, and refrigerators.
Is it ever going to stop?
Phones, cars, refrigerators. Is it ever going to stop?
Yeah.
Please make it stop.
Welcome to phone, cars, and refrigerators. I'm Eric.
I need to call people. I need things cold. I need transportation. But this stuff has to stop.
You know? That's Bill, the first caller. Bill from New Jersey, go.
Okay.
I need my food cold. I can't call nobody. And my car's broke. Welcome.
But I need the product.
You're in the right place, Billy.
Right.
Please but help. I need the product.
You got to have a phone. That's why. So I was.
But you know what you do? You do what I do. You buy the cheapest phone they got.
Yeah, my phone. The battery crapped out on it. Well, Clay, last week when we were in here. That is the noise that my brain made, like a low, old, creaky door.
It's horrible.
Yeah, because I love this thing. You know, and it's when you don't have it, even for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, it's like, what can I do? Something's happening. I'm getting emails.
Yeah, you can't turn on TV.
This is your TV now. Who watches TV?
That's your brain. You're holding your brain.
I'm holding my brain. My brain broke. I need a new battery for my brain.
That's really what it is. It's your brain.
Right. Google.
They should just call the iBrain is the next phone.
Any event. It cost me $85 to have. There. Thank God it was only the battery. I thought the phone was like done.
You sound like you're talking about a car.
Because these, I'll tell you what, these expensive $700, $800 phones.
There's 600,000 parts in one of these.
Yeah. They're depreciating values. Just like, they're like cars. They've become cars. When phones were like $200 a few years ago, like you get like a Motorola Razr or something like that, if the thing crapped out, I would just go back to Verizon and I'd be like, I got the insurance.
Give me 5 Razrs.
Give me another one. Give me another one.
Anthony, you know? Give me 5 Razrs.
You get one of these 900, you know, they're checking your credit and amping up APR on the phone. And like that, you know, you're like, wait a second.
No, it's ridiculous.
That phone just cost me like $1,500 over like 2 years.
Anyone who buys the $1,000 phone should be.
But then you're stuck in the phone. It's like, I don't want to pay $800 for a new one.
You get a phone for like $80. You know, it's only going to last like 2 years or whatever, but who cares? And then you just do it every 2 years and just deal with it.
Easier said than done, but agreed.
Okay, I'm done. Buying the nice phones. I'm done buying the nice cars.
You got to have them for business.
I don't want nice cars. I don't want nice phones. I don't want nice clothes.
I don't want nice refrigerators.
I don't want nice refrigerators. I don't want nice appliances.
I want an old brown refrigerator.
I want a mattress stuffed with $400,000 in cash.
In an old brown
landline.
An old landline, a gassed up car. In a station wagon.
You basically want to be a gangster from 1984.
Sure, why not? Well, that's what everybody's, you know.
That's what I want to do. That's eventually what I want to be.
What, someone who has access to lots of cash or a gangster?
Well, both.
I want it. What a weird thing to aspire to be. Kids, listen, when I'm about 60, I'm going to become a gangster. I hope you're okay with it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't affect you.
Because I figure by the time that I get caught up that the crimes catch up with me, I'll be about 80. I'll be ready to die anyway, so it really won't matter.
Throw me in jail for a couple
years. So that's my 401k plan. That's my retirement plan.
Yeah. Check the mattresses.
Check the mattresses.
Can you imagine having that conversation? Could you imagine having that conversation with like a financial advisor and the guy's like, I understand, but you should really probably invest this month and that. And you just go, I'm not willing to really put anything away right now. Thanks. And he goes, why? You don't have a retirement plan? And you go, yeah, at about 60, I'm going to become a gangster.
That's my retirement. I'm going to break the law. I'm going to break the law and make money.
I think that's a safer play than what you're going to do with my money, personally.
I'm going to break the law, make money, hide the money, and then go to prison and die.
That's the guy's plan.
That's my 30-year plan. What's yours now?
Yeah. What do you got?
Yeah, exactly.
Invested into what?
I went to the racetrack over the weekend. That's
speaking of gangsters and characters.
Oh!
Yeah.
Racetracking.
I was at a wedding. So the reception was at the racetrack.
Did you see a horse?
Saw lots of horses. Yeah. It was great. We were like in a clubhouse.
Were they racing each other?
Yes, they were racing. The thoroughbreds were racing that day. The bride and the groom had their own race named after them.
Did they run around the track?
No, that didn't happen. That would
be
insane.
A thing? Yeah. And now the bride and groom will take a lap on the racetrack.
It's the first time I've been to a racetrack on a Saturday afternoon, where it was like food and drinks.
Come back just covered in dirt.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, she won.
We didn't know we were gonna get married in a slap. You know, it's been a crazy day.
Yeah.
How'd you do on the Pawnee's belt?
No winner. I had one winner that was I took a 30-1 odds and it showed, and I put $10 on it to show. So
would you win $15?
$13 around there. I think it was that. Close to around there.
Let me ask you a question. You ever been
I missed the superfecta.
Yeah,
by
this is what the guy always says.
Honey, leave me alone. I've been playing British at the car dealership all day. I went over to OTB.
I had a $40 million idea, but I forgot it.
Yeah, the superfecta. It's a $24.
At about 3:30 in the afternoon, I had a $40 million idea that I forgot an hour later.
Today's not going well.
It's not going well.
Yeah.
I missed on a superfecta by two.
That's a way off then on the superfecta if you missed by two.
My horse didn't even make the track.
You know when you always it always happens at the racetrack where you get there and you pick like the one horse that you picked to show, and then you're like, oh, and then you're like,
the horses want you.
Then
to
you
lose.
Go back and you like look at the odds again, and you're going, hold on, I'm gonna do that superfecta.
No.
And you pick, you get all of them. The first three I picked, I got right, and I'm like, yeah, that four horse. All right, I'll put the four in there, and then I get up to the bottom.
You got greedy.
And I'm like, why am I putting so much money on the seven, and I'm not even gonna put it in my superfecta. Sure enough, I don't put the seven in the superfecta in it. You know, I pick it hits.
This is like Bill at a police station.
I would have won, you know, around $1,300.
Sure enough. You know.
You got a recipe for spitting on
it
a horse.
It was after that, though. After that, I was like, all right, we're done for the day. I mean, it was already like the seventh race, but I was like, forget it.
You're better off rolling craps behind the horse track.
Was the wedding reception at the racetrack?
It was. So it was a daytime wedding. There was the ceremony at another location, and then obviously we went to the racetrack.
Did they let the horses walk around?
That's fun.
It was a blast.
Could you have access to all parts of the track?
No, we were in a private suite, but like we were upstairs, like, you know, and in the suite, you know, they're like, there's sliding doors, and you walk out, and you're like on a balcony level, and people can, you know, watch. Then on the other side of the suites, there's like an area where you know, if you're a smoker, you can bring your cocktail out on that ledge and smoke and look at the winner's circle downstairs. It's cool.
Is there any jockeys there?
Plenty.
Walking
around? There was a 16-year-old girl that was a jockey riding on a horse over the weekend, and she won a race.
Nice.
I heard the jockeys are kind of a wild group.
Really?
Yeah.
Jockey tails? You have some jockey tails?
Welcome to Jockey Tails.
But I was talking to people about this. Every time I go to the track, I think of, because I had a suit on and everything, all I could think of was Richard Dreyfuss and Let It Ride.
I'm having a very good day.
And I'm talking to some of the people, and I'm like, have you guys ever seen Let It Ride? You know, and everyone's like, no. And I was
Buster
like, where was everybody in the late 80s, early 90s? Weren't they watching Richard Dreyfuss and Buster Poindexter movies?
David Johansen?
Terry Garr?
Terry Garr.
Robbie Coltrane?
I kept thinking that I was going to, you know, if I had hit that
Jennifer Tilly,
I would have felt like
Bill, you would have been, you would have doubled down and walked
out. No, then I would have done like, okay, so it was a $1 superfecta.
Bill would have been champagne for everybody.
It was a $1 superfecta for 24 bucks. I know I would have probably won like 1,300 bucks if that had hit.
Yeah.
And then probably come back because I boxed it.
Fan Bill, horse fantasies.
But if I, then I know I would have come back like the next race and probably done like, you know, let me get a $4 superfecta box, which is a $96 bet that would hit like, you know, it pays like $5,000. Obviously, you'd have to have like a 3-to-1 shot in there and then three favorites. But Clay, if it came in.
You have gone off the rails on your horse talk.
Your horse talk is
hey.
Gambling, horse talk. Whoa, gambling.
Welcome to
horses.
Clip Claps with right. Billy.
Mm-hmm. Billy Clip Claps.
That's your gangster name when you're 60.
There
Billy,
it is. Fine.
Billy Clip. Part,
I'm gonna become Billy Clip Claps. you're right, Bill. Idea, jump out of my mouth, please.
I'm right about what?
No, Clay. I was gonna say my uncle Bill, my uncle Willie.
Yeah.
Managed an off-track betting parlor for about 10 years.
God bless him.
Here in the city, and he had some wild tales about.
Oh, I'm
about,
sure.
Horse gamblers. And Bill, when I think of you, I know what you mean, where when you get in that environment.
Here's the thing. At a place like that, like...
And all of a sudden, you're looking around at all the different characters in the room, and you know, and there's guys going up, you know, they're looking at the time, like post-time to get their bet in.
Of course.
Guys are yelling at other guys in line, like, come on! You know, like...
Not in those private booths where we were. That's what it was really nice. It was very... Like, you had your own teller, and there were literally probably, you know, 60 people, 70 people
in the room.
They make
it easy for you to
tell
your money
in the toilet.
And not only
there was an automated one that you could do by yourself, and I don't trust those. I like to just go up to the personal teller and be like, all right, this is what I want. And, you know... I'd be like, "What's how much is this bet or that?" But the guy, you know, these guys are all pros; they know that. But but Billy. I would talking to even the bartender. You know, the thing about the horse track is you can't. Nobody goes with $100 in their pocket and walks out of there with you know $400 unless it's like a ridiculous win that you just hit. Here, those horses that are like 50-to-1s and 30-to-1s at tracks like that, they're not like. Seasoned horses yet. It doesn't mean that that horse that's going off that in like you know 6 months span after it keeps running more could be potentially be a champion. So it does make it exciting in that part, but there's a lot of usually within the fields there's tons of scratches always in these races, and you got young jockeys on them. You know, I always look for a proven jockey at Arlington, bet him throw him,
throw
him into triple. Yeah. It's the truth. Throw him into dollar trifecta boxes. Superfecta boxes, forget this, you know, $100 on
I've
this
already
horse
forgotten
to win.
It.
I mean, you ain't going to really win any real money doing that.
Cars and gambling.
Go with a nickel in your pocket and just bet.
We should play a song for Billy.
$1 trifecta boxes and superfectas all day and see what happens.
Should we play
and
a
put
song
a long
for
shot
Bill?
In with three favorites.
We could play a song
on every
for
race.
Bill. What do you want to play?
How about Ramblin' Gamblin' Man by Bob Seger?
Oh, man.
How about Telephone by ELO, since we were talking about phones?
Oh, well, yeah?
It's an Irish jam. It's very...
Oh.
Ooh.
Or Wild Horses.
We can play Wild Horses.
Sure, why not?
That's why we have a producer here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. We'll be right back.
Wow. decided to show me the same. No sweeping exits. Oh, off stage lines could make me feel bitter.
Horses, the Hooli's Hooli will return after these messages.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Juries won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend, is ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips. Or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
We're back. Final stretch of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. It's been a wild one. Here's something. I'm going to start a new topic here.
Just okay, go ahead, go. Pat.
The topic, go. Something's been irking me on Facebook in the last day.
What?
Okay.
Why does everyone feel obligated to take a photo shoot with their child for their first day of school now?
Yeah.
Isn't that a
thing? I don't know.
It's become like a like, oh, we got to get the kids outside with a whiteboard that says first day of second grade, and everyone holds up a sign, and it's the dad and the kids and the mom and the kids.
The whole family's in it?
Yeah, I
understand doing the kid. I did my own kid with just him.
You did it then?
But just him. It was holding a piece of paper. It says first day of school.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my kitchen.
In your kitchen. But, and then was it posted to social media for a couple hundred likes?
It was an Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like it's a thing. Like, I don't remember when I was a kid that my mom made me go outside. She had a little Kodak, you know, disposable camera. Get out there and hold up the sign. It's your first day of eighth grade. Or it's typically only done for very young kids.
We took a picture first day of school.
You did?
Yeah.
This is something
back in the 80s in a real camera. Real camera.
Right. Where is that? Can we start to do people take pictures, you know? First day of work at AutoZone when I was 17. Picture, you know, hi. You
know. Yeah.
Actually, it's first day of work at O'Reilly's. It's an Irish one.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get
there's a plug to them.
We want to get O'Reilly Auto Parts as a sponsor. So,
sure, we should.
If you ever have your first day of work there, take a photograph of yourself. Post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You'd only be so lucky.
Anyway, there's something about it that, like, it's starting to, it's like the ice bucket challenge, you know? Like, all of a sudden I'm seeing, like, is this something that I am obligated to do now with my kids? Yes. Like, are my kids going to come up to me and go, you know, Dad, I hate you. When I was five, you never took the first day of school picture.
That will happen.
You never were there? You know, and you're like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, I just went to college, and Stephanie, my roommate, she's got pictures of her family all over her desk, and half of them are from her first day of school, and we never did that. And I feel, you know, I think that you are a rotten father for that.
Oh, man.
That'll be a nice thing, though. Like, you know, you'll basically have a digital photo album for your kids to look at when you're gone.
Sure, because they're going to be able to get into my iPhone 20 years from now. That's a thing, right? People take all these pictures. Do you think that they're obviously going to, like, download and save them? That's something that I've, like, now that I have a family, I'm like, I never used to care about the pictures in my phone. I'd be like, yeah, but that. Unless you're a photographer.
They're all backed up on your cloud.
Don't worry about saving nothing. It's all in the cloud. It's in the clouds.
The clouds.
Your life memories are in the clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the digital clouds.
Uh-huh. Computer clouds.
Joel Osteen's homily this weekend.
The computer clouds will save everything, but Jesus will save your soul.
Life in the clouds.
Life in the clouds by Joel Osteen.
Yeah. Right.
Battling a technological society.
Battling technological demons.
Techie demons.
Yeah.
Tech demons.
Ooh. If you want to reach the clouds, you follow me.
I agree with you, though. Yeah, like it's a lot
First day of work at Tech Demons. It's a Radio Shack of the future.
It's a phone repair store.
Right.
Tech Demons.
Tech Demons.
First day at Tech Demons.
Right. Take a picture of me. It's my first day at Tech Demons.
Gotta post it.
What if there was a company like Facebook called Tech Demons?
It sounds like it's in Fresno.
Then there was Oracle. Then Tech Demons came, and they completely revolutionized SQL.
Tech Demons buys Amazon for $1 trillion.
Right.
Shuts down operations.
Takes pictures with signs.
Destroys all equipment.
Tech Demons. Is that T-E-K or T-E-C-H?
I like T-E-K.
Tech Demons.
Demons with a Z.
Tech Demons with a Z. T-E-K-D-E-M-O-N-Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the look. Totally.
Tech Demons,
we'd have someone play the tune.
Actually, we could that's what you say at the VC meeting. What kind of tech is it? Doesn't matter. We're going to have the guy come in on a guitar and go, Tech Demons,
we could set you on.
And we're going to raise like another Series B round, and then we're going to figure out what the heck we actually have on our hands here.
We'll probably get a website going.
We'll get a website going, get some SEO going.
Get a phone number, a secretary.
Maybe
a file cabinet. One of those steel ones.
I'm going startup. I'm getting a steel file cabinet, domain.
You'll do a three drawer steel cabinet.
That is what happens in the startup world nowadays. Read a lot of like about these products, and you're like, does this really work, or is this just a bunch of guys who are like, it could work. Let's go out and get a bunch of money together and start selling it.
Start lying to people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Hewlett Packard was started, in someone's garage. Gateway, one of those companies.
I thought it was Apple.
No, Hewlett, one of those HP or Gateway was.
So let me ask this: getting back to the phone, and we've been talking about the tech. We always do on how
tech demons
interrupts our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a diagnosis on that phone?
Yeah, I needed a new battery. And I said that prior.
I told you that last week. I said, "Yeah, you probably need a new battery." Did they tell you turn it off? Stop doing this with it if it gets too hot.
Turn it off. You know. Pet it.
Yeah.
Sneeze on it.
Tap it.
Tap it with mozzarella cheese.
Yes. You're the guy at Tech Demons, right? Your name, Rodrigo? Rodrigo, I tapped this with mozzarella cheese about 20 times. I read on the Reddit that might work. What do you think? Your phone is broken, sir.
Yeah.
You need a $1,000 battery.
You need the battery.
Did your kids get a hold of the phone and go, wow, this is so much better after they jumped on it immediately?
No, but it does. They polish it up there, you know? I was waiting.
It's a piece of crud.
Yeah.
No. So it's glass.
Oh, just because I don't. Yeah, it's fragile. It's like holding a fragile, broken phone.
Well, they took care of it for you, huh? Where'd you take it? The little place in Oak Park that I know of? Fix it for you?
No, it's not called that. It's called Tech Demons.
Oh.
Tech Demons.
Maybe we get David Lee Roth.
Bring him. Demons.
Right. Tech Demons.
Oh, he's made his way in again. He always does. Thank you, David Lee.
Or Eddie. Oh, I took the morning.
Oh, man. Speaking of
Pearl Jam was just in town, Clay.
Speaking of that, I was in a liquor account earlier on Monday.
I got a beef before your liquor account story.
Yeah.
This guy just thinks better. He thinks he can just roll into town and just play whatever 3-4 shows at Wrigley and completely neglect the other stadium completely and just not play Comiskey, not even give him one night.
I don't know.
Or guaranteed rate, whatever you want to call it.
Well, maybe the offer wasn't out there. You and Vetter are going to come to a halt at some point.
I'm going
to
headbutt Vetter one of these days.
Vetter, yeah.
Whoa!
Oh, Clay!
Oh, you did broke, that concert get canceled on Monday night? Anyways, so I'm in an account on Monday. And obviously my territory is near Wrigley Field.
Ugh.
And as I'm in the account, I notice a guy walk in, and he's got, there's probably a guy with him who's probably like 6'6". Mm. He's got a PJ hat on, obviously Pearl Jam. I see it, you know, and I'm like,
oh yeah.
And he's with another guy, and the other guy has like on one of those half-cut like baseball shirts on.
Sure.
And then he's got like kind of like a beer, you know, like a, would look like a craft beer, like a gas station attendant kind of snap up shirt over it.
Yep. Hipster.
And then he's got khaki shorts on and like these like new, like, you know, Nike, like where they're like slips, but they're gym shoes kind of. Ooh, you know, shoes. Whatever they call those. I don't know. Who cares?
Nike slip shoe.
But he's got a Cub hat and his hair is a little bit longer and he's got a beard. And I mean, it looks like at first I'm like, is that better?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, that looks a lot like
should
better.
Have done that.
Was it?
And I'm looking at it, and, you know, it was an odd thing that, you know, they got a case of beer, a bag of ice, and then the guy got himself. This is when I figured, I'm like, yes, he's got to be a musician. And so it was the weird thing to purchase at a liquor store, and where he had sunglasses on, and it was, like, overcast out. You know, I'm like, that's interesting to look. And then I thought, well, wait, so he gets Halls. He gets a thing of Halls, and he gets coconut water with a case of Budweiser and ice. I'm like, that's a strange order, but I'm like, okay. Coconut water makes sense, but I'm like, Halls? I'm like, maybe he's a performer, and then I'm like, maybe he isn't Pearl Jam, right? And I'm looking at him, and I'm like...
Because of the PJ hat.
Because the guy with him had the PJ hat on.
It would
then,
be security.
But then I was like, it would be... And then I'm like, it's not better, and then I start thinking, I go, but it would be funny. I could see one of the other members of Pearl Jam having a look like walking around Wrigley to like, look like Vedder and people not knowing who he was, being like, are you Eddie Vedder? And then not even realizing that he was a member of Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up and I just remember this, like a distinct look to this guy's nose. And I was like, no, that's how I could tell it wasn't Vedder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go online and Vedder it was him. I'm almost positive it was.
Did you take a picture of
it? Was Stone Gossard, one of the guitarists of Pearl Jam. I'm almost positive it was him.
Okay. And you're kicking yourself for not getting a picture, maybe?
It was just us in the store. Yeah. And like they were talking, but they were not really talking about the show. They were just kind of quiet, and you could hear them like, you know, make a few jokes under their breath or whatever while they were shopping. But I was like, is that him? At first, I was like, Vedder?
Hi, I'm Bill Houlihan. I'm a Vedder detective.
Hi, are you Ed Vedder?
You exhibited some Vedder-ish.
But I was almost the way he was dressed was almost like they were looking and hoping for someone to be like Vedder so that they'd get their like big joke out of it. And then me actually. Not knowing who that guy was, and the guy being a member of Pearl Jam, you know.
And then camera crew pops up.
They're like, hey, you didn't know who Vedder was, who Stone Gossard was from Pearl Jam. But that was my experience. And then the concert, I think I canceled on Monday.
Good.
Or they pulled him off the field on.
Pull him off.
No, they shut it down at 7:30. They told everyone to take cover, and then I don't know if the show ever came back to light. I don't know.
I'll be back to play.
But, yeah, that was...
I'll be pitching for the Cubs.
Anyways, I don't know what you guys got going on this weekend. There's probably a lot going on.
Yeah, there is. But one thing that you should go head out to is the Misericordia Family Festival, Sunday, September 9th from 11 to 6 p.m. Live entertainment, food, and fun for everyone. Misericordia is dedicated to providing extraordinary programs for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's located at 6300 North Ridge. There's free parking at S&C Electric, corner of Devon and Ridge. Check it out. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, Family Fest. Big deal over at Misericordia.
It's great. I've been to it in the past.
Yes.
It goes to a good cause. Bring your kids out there, and you'll have a really, really wonderful time. Really great family event. We have come to the end of this show. What an odd one again.
It always is.
This show is presented by
Tribernian.
Hibernian Transmedia. You can find archived episodes of this show at iTunes if you search for Free Crack, C-R-A-I-C. Or you can go to our website at www.freecrack52w.com. Stick around for the program that follows this one. That's the Crack with Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan. They tape that show live at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And then you can stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions that follow. It's in the Fifth Province Pub.
Yeah.
That about does it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. I hope you all have luck with your telephones this week. And maybe
take care of your batteries.
Take care of your car.
Watch them tech demons.
Watch out for tech demons.
See you next week.
Yeah. you feeling? Are you still the same? Don't you realize?